All right, let's talk about Hoyland, shall we? The fury, the genuine fury I had watching this guy trying to get serviced in this game has gone. So I can't really give the same emotional, well, not emotional, heated speech as I was going to give before. There's such a, I don't know if visceral is the right word, there's such a sort of, I'll use the word visceral because I can't think of anything else. Visceral discussion towards this player in the fan base that I just. You know when you wonder if you're the only person that can see something and you just don't understand why other people can't. We do not pass to this player. We do not do it. And I've noticed so many times, and it happened again in this game, you sub him off, okay, welcoming Cobbie onto the pitch, whatever. Why are we crossing the ball into the players after we've taken our striker off? I mean, it's great that we did that because we played the panic, that resulted in the panicked football and we won the game. I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna sit here and tell you this right now. Pick out any striker you want from the entire history of football. Doesn't have to be a Man United player. Can be any. Thierry Henry, Raul from Real Madrid, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Robin van Persie, Cristiano Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo, Messi, Aguero, Haaland, Dennis Bergkamp, the four that we used to have: York, Cole, Sheringham, Solskjaer. Who's good right now? Mbappe, Harry Kane, somebody that we should have got, Lewandowski, Benzema. It does not matter who you've got up front if you do not service the player. And I continue to be, so this has changed for me because if you remember a few months ago, sort of more in the middle of the season, I was like, why are we pumping the ball to this guy in the middle of the pitch where he can't hold it up because that's not part of what he's good at? And we did it over and over and over and over and over again, and it didn't work. Thankfully, we stopped doing that. But I don't know what's more frustrating is watching when we used to do that, or watching this guy run into the box and we just don't pass the ball to him. We just do not cross the ball into this player. And there was a point the camera pointed him at one point. I think Garnacho took a shot or something like that, and he was so furious that he kicked the post. If I don't know if some of you who are watching this game saw that. Why do we not pass the ball to this player? He is not going to gain more confidence, and he is not going to get better if you do not service him. And I'm not talking about passing the ball to him in the middle of the pitch or making him run the channels as if he's a winger or something. This is not the team where we had Tevez, Rooney, and Ronaldo, and it didn't really matter where the three of them were because they were all good at kind of the same thing, and you could use them in the same way, and you could have more of a fluid front three. He is not that type of player because it's almost a waste of time. When, let's say, one of our midfielders, let's say Ugarte for some reason, plays the ball to him down the channel, okay, he receives it, he's got it. And then he has to pass the ball to somebody near the box, which isn't him, when you would prefer to have him in be the person that's passed to. So we're either doing that, or where we give the ball this guy down the wing for some reason, because that's the only place we can seem to give him the ball to, or he runs into the box over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and we seem to always pass to a different player, or kick the ball over his head, or kick it behind him, or kick it too far in front of him, or give him like a scrappy shot on the edge of the box or something. I felt like David Attenborough watching like. Like so curiously watching like what we do with this player. Now it doesn't mean that you have to like him as a player. I think he's fantastic, and I think when we there are so many examples, and I saw a clip a few weeks ago of the end of last season, when he got what was it, 8 goals in 7 games. It's because he was getting serviced more. So for anyone out there being like, oh, we should sell him, he doesn't score any goals, he just fundamentally doesn't get given the ball in positions where he could realistically score from. It just does not happen. And, like, okay, take him out of the team. Go and buy Harry Kane. Go and do it, right? Okay, Harry Kane, yes, is obviously a better footballer than Hoyland. But if you're giving Kane the ball in the same situations that you're giving it to Hoyland, the same thing's probably going to happen. And it drove me mad watching it happen in this game. Because when he scored some really, really good goals in goal-scoring positions, he's got a fantastic finish on him. But you can't do that if he's got the ball by the corner flag, can you? Or if he's got the ball on the halfway line, or, where would you call it? In between the edge of the box and the halfway line. Like, he's not Rooney. He's not Ronaldo or Tevez. He's not a sort of, like, more centre forward type striker. And honestly, if I was him, I mean, forget the discussion of should Man United sell Hoyland. Should Hoyland be bothered to stay at Man United? Because, like, okay, put yourself in it. Sometimes you need to just look at what's happening to somebody and put yourself in their shoes. Now imagine you're Rasmus Højlund and you make run after run after run after run, and you just don't get the ball crossed to you. It just doesn't happen, and it did not happen once in this game. Again, imagine then you get subbed off, so you're then sitting on the bench, and then you watch your team cross the ball into the box over and over again, especially the last 10 minutes where it was, oh, Cobbie's got the ball in a goal scoring situation. Oh, Maguire's got a header in the box now all of a sudden. Oh, Dalot gets the ball in a goal scoring opportunity. Ugarte gets the ball in a goal scoring opportunity. Because if you look at, let me go back to the summary. Let's just talk about positioning for a moment. Let's just talk about positioning for a moment, right? Look at where Ugarte is. Forget who passed the ball or who did what or whatever, right? I'm going to go through these goals and just imagine if Højlund was there instead of the player who got the ball. So let's say you could almost swap them around because Højlund was in the box, he just didn't get the ball passed to him. Imagine you switch around Ugarte and Højlund, and Højlund gets the ball in the exact spot that Ugarte does. He's scoring that goal. If let's say that Højlund still wins the duel that Dalot gets into, and I know that they're different, preferred foot, Højlund is left and Dalot is right foot. That again is a goal scoring position that Højlund should be getting given the ball to. I think he scores that one. Let's go forward to, okay, Bruno scored a penalty. Kobbie Mainoo, now that's a bit of a classic Kobbie Mainoo situation of a goal. And again, you got the preferred right foot situation there, because Cobbie wasn't going to kick that with his left foot, was he? Imagine you switch that round, Højlund is there, and let's say Højlund does the same little sort of cut inside maneuver, which he can also do, because we've seen him do that before. And, okay, does he have the ability to score the goal in the same way that Cobbie does? Yes, I think he does, because I've seen him score goals like that before. Then if you look at Maguire, a bit more of a difficult one here, and okay, Maguire is obviously taller than Højlund, so that gives him a bit more of advantage. Let's say you take the exact same positioning of where the defender is and where Maguire is. Now the defender doesn't quite manage to stay with Maguire. Maguire manages to peel away from him pretty decently. So you haven't got quite the sort of, it's not a full-on duel because Maguire manages to sort of peel away from him a bit more. Does Højlund score that chance? I would say yes. I think that he does. I think most players would score or at least get the ball on target. So for all these four, is that? Yeah, because the fifth was the penalty. Did he get given in this game any chance up until, when was he on till? He was on until the 86th minute in this game. Did he get given any of the same service or situations as any of those goals I've just read out? No, he didn't. He didn't get given that at all. The last time that happened, I can remember happening, I don't know if it was in a Newcastle game or the one before that, where Dorgu had the ball on the left-hand side and crossed it into Højlund. Okay, he scuffed the shot a bit, it wasn't a great effort and all that. He was probably a bit shocked that the ball was actually in a goal-scoring position at his feet. That being said, you've got to give them about five of them per game because I think that's what you've got to do with your striker anyway. You've got to give them about three to five of those chances in a game anyway. Okay, before that Dorgu chance, okay, Xerxes started a few games. I cannot remember the last time he was given the ball and serviced in a situation like that. So even if for those of you that like, let's say you don't like him as a player or whatever, can you sit here and agree with me that he just does not get serviced in these same ways that I've described? Apart from the Dorgu pass, what was the last one that you can remember that was similar to that or similar to these other four goals, apart from Bruno's penalty, in a game? Because I can't remember a single one. Could have happened if there was a bit where Garnacho could have, like, even it was as he was running, I was sort of not shouting, but I was going, pass it to Højlund, pass it to Højlund, pass it to Højlund. Just didn't do it. Just didn't do it. Just it just blows my mind. I just also because the last striker we had that was a similar type was probably Cavani. Because Xerxes is not the same type of player. Xerxes is not the same type of player at all. He's more of like a Martial type who will score you goals, but his key thing is like ball control, holding up the ball. You've been able to see that recently, even in the Newcastle game as well. Who else was similar? Ronaldo kind of molded into that, and in his first season when he came back, he was good at doing that, and then he just sort of fell away. He got serviced. Cavani got serviced. He scored some fantastic goals as well. No, I can't think of another striker that's like this, the same sort of, if you want to use the term, like goal poacher sort of thing, that we, I wouldn't say serviced badly, but completely failed to service. And I just don't understand it. It just, I've stopped trying to get like annoyed or angry about it and just ended up being genuinely fascinated by how long this has gone on for, which will probably be until the end of the season. But I'm glad he sort of and you can see a few other little ones where like he's raising his arms and being like, "What the hell? Why aren't you passing to me?" And I'm there with him every single time that happens. Because at least for the other players, if it was more sort of, okay, the other players are crossing the ball nearer to him, at least they can say they're doing their job of crossing the ball in or doing whatever. But then again, in this game, you take him off and then you start whipping the crosses in and then you start passing the ball into the area more effectively because we knew we needed a panic and we knew we needed goals. That was why that happened. So yeah, I'll give him a 20 out of 10 in this game. I'll probably give him a six again because what else am I gonna do? I don't know. Does anyone share the same sentiment as me? Do you all think I'm just mad and he's just a terrible player? Go back and watch some of the goals he scored from last year. Go and watch the when he did do the 8 and 7 or whatever it was. He was just in more goal scoring positions. Even the one he scored against. I think it was the last. Was it the previous Europa League round? Not the Lyon one, whoever we beat before that. Let me just check something. Semi-final, quarter-final, last eight. Sociedad. 1-1. Who scored in the 1-1 game? Xerxes scored. And the other fixture was 4-1. Bruno scored twice. Scored a hat trick to low. It might have been the one before that. Where we played. It won't let me click on that one. I don't know why. There was a game very recently. Højlund scored near the start of the game, and he got the ball like near the right. He was fed the ball near like the right-hand side of the box, and he tucked it away from that. I cannot remember which game it was from. Actually, I'll tell you what would be easy to do. If I click on squad, click on Højlund, Rasmus Højlund, and it will tell me which games he scored a goal in. Not for Denmark. Leicester. Was it a Leicester game? Maybe. It does say Bruno assist Højlund goal in the first 28 minutes. It might have been the Leicester game. This is from the 16th of March, which was, yeah, a month ago. My point is, it just doesn't happen, and I am just completely baffled by it. So, make of that what you will. Okay, it's gone to other players. Luke Shaw, I thought, did well when he was subbed on. Mason Mount, good to see him again. I thought he did well. Cobbie did really, really well. Took his goal really well. Amass, I thought, did well considering the situation. And Eriksen wasn't on for that long, but I thought did good as well. On the bench, we had Amass, Bayende, Eriksen, Heaton, somebody called Jadon Cammersons, 18-year-old English defender. Godwill Kukonki, I've mentioned him before, we just haven't seen him yet, 17-year-old defender. Lindelof, Maino, someone called Jack Morehouse, 19-year-old midfielder, Irish. And then Mount and Luke Shaw. Mason Mount and Luke Shaw are actually playing football now, which is good. Then we've got Collier out with a knock, De Ligt out with a knock, Ahmed out with an ankle injury, Evans, who's leaving at the end of the season, lower back injury, Heaven, ankle injury, Martinez, knee injury, Obi's not registered for the Europa League, and Xerxes, I think, is out for the season with a hamstring injury. All right, that's all of that out the way. So just to reiterate, I'm not covering any games for the rest of the Premier League season. So we do have Wolves next Sunday, sorry, this Sunday, on the 20th at 2 o'clock, and then it says Bournemouth 2 o'clock, 27th of April, 1st of May. We've got yes, Athletic Bilbao. We're away for the first leg, and then we play them again on the 8th of May. So that will be the two semi-finals. The teams that are left in the Europa League is Tottenham, Bodo Glimt. Is it Glimt? That's one of the teams that Højlund scored against, if you remember that really good finish. Tottenham, Bodo Glimt, Athletic Bilbao, and Manchester United. Could get Spurs in the final, couldn't we? That'd be interesting. So yeah. Anyway, I've said what I would like to say today, and that is that. All right, if you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, please, if you have any opinion about Højlund, please let me know and we can see how we match up with that. Tell you what I'll do, I'll give you all some tasks, or one task. Sunday's game, assuming Højlund's going to play, because who else is going to? We don't have another striker, or Xerxes. Any time that we look like we're breaking forward and looking for the runs of the players, just look at Højlund. That's genuinely what I did in this game. Like, as soon as we got past the halfway line and we were sort of, let's say, on the attack, just looked at Højlund and just look at, does the ball get to him in a useful position? Just try and keep your eyes out on that. I think it'd be very interesting to see what goes on from now on. Anyway, yes, your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, matthewentertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcasts, lots and lots and lots of coverage for The Last of Us this week, of course, season 2, episode 1. We came back for season 2, episode 1. So all of the different podcasts out for that. Gaming Talk this week was fun, so we did that as well. Might do a political talk in a minute. I want to talk about the Supreme Court and what they decided to do this week, because I have some opinions about that. So I might do that in a minute. I've still got some energy left, so I probably will. So there's that. And then yeah, United Cast, Gaming Talk, Last of Us. Hopefully doing some film reviews over the next couple of days. There is five films out at the moment that I want to see. I'm not going to say like, hey, I'm going to see it on this day or whatever. You'll know when I've reviewed a film because you'll see the review for the film. I'm just going to leave it at that. So look out for all that stuff. And then, yeah, you can go to entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, main night podcast for all the different ones that we do. You can support us, of course, by listening to more episodes, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentioned something we podcasted on, please tell about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Ad-free podcast for your options for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk. You can go from here over to there if you want to listen to that and get your newest TV and film news. And then YouTube is Entertainment Talk Plays. If you missed my stream last week on Saturday, I did a no return for Last of Us stream. It is a spoiler-free horde mode type thing, and you can watch me do that, as well as our other fun clips and bits and pieces over on YouTube. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.